This is why we cannot have guests.
This is why we can't have nice things.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, cause it's now.
What if they come back?
They won't come back.
How do you know?
Because the heroes showed them what would happen. And even though this is scary, sweetheart, I'm still the luckiest woman in the world because I have the greatest little girlie in the worldie, Russ. Well, you're not that little, are you?
I need to protect us.
No, listen, sweetie, Russ, that's my job, okay? Whatever you need, I'm here for you, just as long as it doesn't inconvenience me.
I need a bow and arrow. And you need to start this podcast.
You got it, sweetheart. Sharp. Just... Okay. Okay, I got this.
This is just another review podcast where we watch stuff. Like the first episode of a streaming series. Then we rate it. And then we pair it with a film from our childhood. And hopefully something with... not so beautiful as this.
Don't forget to send us emails about your dead dad. At jartpodcast@gmail.com. Rate us on Apple Podcasts and give us a follow on
the Instagram.
It's jarp_podcast.
It's okay, Russ. This podcast is a companion post-episode, and that episode, which made us really sad, is episode 1 of Hawkeye on Disney Plus.
And after that, we're looking back at the 1991 film, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
But first, let's collect ourselves and let's talk about Hawkeye.
It's Hawkeye time.
It's Hawkeye.
I'm good now.
Oh wow! Just like that, you're all better.
It's a power I have. Mm-hmm. You know, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off.
Interesting. Sometimes I doubt your commitment to Sparkle Motion.
I really doubt your commitment to Sparkle Motion.
This show is called Hawkeye. It's on the old Disney Plus. This stars Jeremy Renner as Clinton Barton. Clinton Barton. How about just Clint Barton?
Clint
Barton. I see. Also, alias Hawkeye in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You also may recognize Jeremy from The Unusuals, Arrival, The Town, and Wind River with the better Olsen.
That's right. The Unusuals. What's that?
Oh, so it was a one season show on the television where he played a detective, and it was, I quite liked it. I discovered it on TV back when you know would just watch TV, and I thought it was really good. And then it was canceled, and it was. And I don't know if it was canceled because of the ratings or it was canceled because his star was just about to arise. But it was kind of before the whole Avengers kind of got going.
Okay, so it was pre-Hawkeye.
That's what I'm going to say.
It's his character. You're going to say, okay.
That's
sorry,
what I'm going to say.
Move on.
No, it's fine. This also stars, and probably more so stars in the episode 1, is Hailee Steinfeld, who plays Kate Bishop. You might recognize Hailee from the show Dickinson on Apple Plus, and she's also a singer, if you didn't know.
Her face is really recognizable to me whenever I see it. And I know she was in Bumblebee, but then still I was like, no, it's not Bumblebee. There's something she was in when she was younger that was really good. And it always, and then I have to do a little research. And sure enough, it's True Grit.
Oh,
she was the young girl that hired, Jeff Bridges. Oh my God, I just about said Jeff Daniels. Jeff Bridges.
I was going to say Matt Damon.
But hired Matt Damon and Jeff Bridges to hunt down the murder of her father.
Right.
I believe. Yeah. Such a good movie.
Great
movie. I've only seen it maybe once or twice. That doesn't mean it's not a good movie.
No.
I just can't recall a limited amount of time. Yeah. And I can't recall too much about it. So let's move on. I'm so sorry. I interrupted you once more.
No worries. There's lots of other people that are in the first episode, but I would like to point out that although she was not in the first episode, she is coming soon. Florence Pugh is also in this show. Yelena,
does something smell?
Yelena,
what's wrong?
Pew pew. Yelena Belova You would recognize that character from the Black Widow movie.
You would recognize her if you'd actually seen
the movie. If you have seen the Black Widow,
which I have not, so you can't reference anything about Black Widow.
No,
but obviously,
guess what?
Florence Pugh lives to fight another day. So I imagine she makes it all the way through Black Widow unscathed.
Spoiler. Yeah.
Well, come on. I mean,
yeah. You know who doesn't make it? Natasha Romanoff.
Well, probably not in the Black Widow movie, but we know where she dies.
You're right.
Yeah. Anyways, move on, Russell. Who created this shit?
Jonathan.
Oh, there's a swear jar.
Oh, every time Sean swears, and it's only Sean, he puts a coin in the jar. Jonathan Engla. That's all I got. He's created by Jonathan Engla. Way to go, Jonathan.
Yay, you.
So this is episode one, Never Meet Your Heroes, directed by Rhys Thomas. The synopsis that I've written by myself. You're welcome, Sean. Here we go. Are you ready?
Wait. You really wrote this?
I wrote this after I watched.
Okay, sweet.
Episode
drum
quickly.
Roll, please.
Second time, here we go. Kate Bishop lost her dad in the Battle of New York, but she also saw Hawkeye being all like 2012 cool, like Joss Whedon cool, fighting aliens with bows and arrows and shit. Oh, here's the coin jar. Now Kate's all grown up and her mom's rich and surprise, getting married, but her fiance's involved in some shady black market auction. And you're Kate and in New York and people think you're Ronin and remember that part of Endgame. So guess what? Clint Barton's here and he wants his sword back and his costume back. And oh God, it's Christmas and this is Hawkeye on Disney Plus.
I love it.
You like it?
Love it. Short, sweet, entertaining. That was great. That applause.
Make
you hear that applause?
Oh, I do it.
Listen to that. Oh, listen to that.
That's nice.
Everyone loves it.
Oh, was that you in there? I didn't notice your clap.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. I have a very distinct clap.
Okay, Sean, tell me what you... First, I want you to start with what you liked about the show. Tell me about what you liked about the show. Always got to think about it.
The production value, guess. You know, well,
there's some money behind this Disney Plus.
Yeah, I mean, it's a given. It's a Marvel production. They've got money up the yin yang. So damn well better have been filmed good. The effects better be at least quality, and so I'll give it that.
What did you not like about the show?
Oh, should we really?
Okay.
Should we really? Let's get into it, Russ.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not going to pick it apart too much. I'm not going to. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. But it was nothing new for me. Okay.
Right.
This is the umpteenth Marvel production. Mm-hmm. And I feel I just watched Shang-Chi and
Shang-Chi.
Yeah. Sean. His name's Sean anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Sean in the Rings. I just watched that.
Okay.
And again, sort of same thing. Mediocre at best. And I felt they're not offering anything new. It's just new characters that are doing the same thing.
Right.
So, again, and I felt that this show fell down the same trap. At least this first episode. Yeah. I feel like I've gone on long enough and you should interrupt me.
I'm going to interrupt you. I think we're all suffering a little Marvel fatigue here.
Exactly. So I'm going to interrupt you now that you've
said
that.
No, please. I've only said a few things, so you might as well
start talking
again.
You can shut up. It's Marvel fatigue, and I had it prior to watching this show, so I don't know if I was the greatest judge of this show, because I was already Marvel fatigued.
Right.
Sorry, I wanted to get that in.
You got it in, boy. Okay, here's the things I liked about it.
Oh,
one.
Ooh, got it in,
got
finally.
It in, got it in, Doink. Got it in, got it in.
One, Sean, don't
the
be thing, gross.
Things I liked, stop it. The things I liked about this is I like how we're looking at 2012, the Battle of New York, and we're putting another spin to it. I appreciated in Endgame when we got to see the perspective of the Ancient One, played by Tilda Swinton, kind of fighting the monsters, the aliens on the the top of the building. I liked how kind of in Spider-Man Homecoming, the Michael Keaton's character was all about kind of like fixing up New York and being, you know, and kind of the aftermath of how that spawned his dissolve into villainry. So I like when they can go back to this big battle, which obviously had huge impacts in this world, in the cinematic world, and has a little like another perspective on it. So I enjoy that. I like that. I liked the Rogers the Musical. I liked the idea that they're making an Avengers.
Yeah, they did Avengers the Musical. You get a little taste of the Broadway production of Avengers the Musical.
Rogers the Musical. Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was called?
Yeah. Yeah, because Steve Rogers, you know, Captain America, he's dead. Or is he living on a different planet?
Or is he just old?
Or is he just old?
And as far as everyone else is concerned, other than the people know that he went back and
just lived his life.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, the general public thinks he's dead, but his friends know he's just old.
He's just a time traveler.
He's old. They probably just locked him in a room somewhere and he's watching Jeopardy and shit. The Illuminati's in this, hey?
The Illuminati.
I don't know.
You think that's the whole thing?
Yeah, they're having some sort of charity banquet, and then all of a sudden you go down into the wine sweater.
Go down to the wine sweller.
And the Illuminati's down there auctioning off a bunch of rare artifacts.
It's when I'm drinking my wine and it spills all over my sweater, it becomes my wine sweater.
Your wine sweater. You kind of keep your wine around with you, and when you want to drink, you can just sort of suck it out of the fibers of the sweat.
Well, there's something going on. There's some black market shady dealings. I just think of it as the rich underworld, but it could be the Catholic Church as well. There could be. Isn't that what you think
the Illuminati is?
Isn't the Illuminati part of it's religious? Isn't the Illuminati?
Well, I don't know. I'm not part of them. So,
is the Illuminati just like?
I thought there was just like the rich and the, okay, that, it's just like, the rich like, and
famous. It's like
the 1% of the 1% that secretly rule and twist and turn the world. Yeah, Tom Cruise,
Nicole Kidman.
No. She's not in it. Okay. But Tom's definitely in it.
Okay.
Tom's in it. Oprah's in it. And
Jeff Bezos.
Who else is it? Kanye West.
And Kanye West. All right.
Okay. Yes. Yes. They're secretly controlling the world for their own agenda. And we're all just along for the ride.
Here we go. We're part of the Matrix.
You tell me.
Okay.
Okay. You said you want to talk about what you didn't like about the show.
Okay. You want me to tell you what I didn't like about the show?
Well, I don't know. I think I can. I've scrolled down to my notes. I think I could tell you something I don't like about
the show. Okay. What don't you like about the show?
Well, I don't know. Her mom's a piece of shit, man. It's
bad writing. You know, bad character development for the mom.
Yeah. She's all at the beginning. Oh, I care so much about you. You know, we made fun of it about 13 minutes ago now, mm-hmm. at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she really does care about her daughter, because she didn't even take the time to tell her that she was engaged.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to go to this charity. I've got something important to tell you, don't worry. I mean, I've got to put my makeup on first and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then she goes to this party, and her daughter that she cares so much about secretly finds out that she's engaged from a perfect stranger.
She didn't even know she was when she arrived at the hotel. She didn't even know she had a boyfriend.
Yeah. He just pops out of nowhere. He's like, hey. Who are you?
What's
you
got with kids? All the swords, Mom? It's just a new friend I have.
Oh, it's just stolen artifacts. Yeah, you know?
I felt that was very sloppy, and I don't like it's just drama for the sake of drama. Like, it doesn't make sense. Get to New York, have some downtime with your mom. Let your mom tell you that she's dating someone, and oh yeah, they're engaged as well. And I don't quite I mean, there's obviously some financial issues in the beginning of the show before the Battle of New York. And mom and dad seem to be fighting about money. And then now we're zooming ahead.
They have to give up the penthouse, right, though. But so they are still, well, quote unquote, wealthy. They just might have to dummy down to a townhouse.
Maybe.
But now
it looks like mom is completely wealthy. And doesn't matter if her daughter's.
Yeah, she's done well now that dad's out of the picture, right?
Maybe. Yeah. And is mom a bad guy? I don't know. But their daughter's destroyed.
I don't know. I smell insurance money there. Right?
Oh, I think. Oh, yeah. I think insurance probably faltered on everybody after the Battle of New York. You know, your daughter is at college, university. She destroys a clock tower, a bell tower, and it's no big deal. It's no big deal financially. It's no big deal.
Yeah, she's just.
She's not really disappointed in her.
And when we're done with the charity, we're going to have to talk about this 300-year-old monument that you happen to destroy that's completely irreplaceable and probably worth
millions.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. Millions. Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry about it. You know, you made Big Ben collapse. Don't worry about it. Mommy will fix it.
Anyways, I've got to go. I got a charity auction I got to get to. There's no time. There's no time to talk.
There's no time.
I got to go to this charity auction. I don't know why.
I don't know if we'll have enough time.
I don't know. It's not like she was in the basement, you know, trying to pay big money for the Ronin sword. I don't know what was the big, I got to get there, deal for mom. But
so you mentioned kind of sloppy writing for the mom, but I also think there's some other sloppy exposition. You know, she's coming back and hands her mom a medal and she's like, oh, by the way, you know, mom, I'm a fucking ninja now. She's like, oh, okay. It's just like, you know, I'm a martial arts champion. It was the only way so that they could all of a sudden like, oh, how does she kick ass in these action scenes all of a sudden? Well, you know, she came back from the Nationals, right? She went to the Nationals for a martial arts championship.
Which if you listen to our Yellow Jackets episode, you know what the Nationals are. So
that's right. That's, you know, of course, everyone's listening says listen to every single podcast that we've done so far.
Yeah, it's a little bit like I think the whole idea of her like getting in the Rona costume and then just fooling the whole underground of criminals that she is now Ronin, and you know, the stature is wrong. The idea that every time they punch her, she goes, like she's like Serena Williams playing tennis. Like it doesn't.
But nobody realizes they're punching a small framed 20-year-old female, right?
Which is fine. But I just feel like if they know who Ronin is, maybe they have punched him before and realized he doesn't grunt. Like a 20-year-old female. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe that is the thing with Clint Barton. I felt like this show was not. I think this show is intended to be for maybe fans of Hailee Steinfeld. I don't know. Like, I just felt like I thought this was going
to
be.
You think she's got a serious enough fan base for them to cater?
She's
show
a famous musician. I think so. She's in
musician.
She's a famous singer.
Oh yeah, music video. Singer. Music video. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so
can we play any of her music on here?
I don't think so.
Can we do this like a couple seconds?
Sure, you do you, Bowie. But I want to see you dance the whole time. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jerry
Shumpster. I think that's all we can do without having it get
See, really down. Good. So that's she's obviously got a base of fans.
I guess.
I thought this was going to be a Jeremy Renner show. I don't think it is. I think it's a Hailee Steinfeld show.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too through the episode. I think he's just a catalyst or a way to get her into the story or get her going. You know what I mean? He's her tie-in or something like that. Or they're just going to just use him to tie her in.
Yeah.
Or tie her up.
Oh, Jesus.
Or tie the knot.
But it did. It felt very like, it felt like a very juvenile kind of action show. I didn't really understand what was happening in a lot of the action. I knew the action was happening, but I didn't really understand what was happening. I didn't care to know what was happening necessarily. I didn't like,
that's just it was just like rudimentary.
It felt,
I mean, not saying it's easy and I could do it, but you know, it was just like rudimentary action and it just, again, nothing new. Like there was nothing even like overly engaging about the action. It was like, oh, she just did a really cool trick or flip, or you know, they didn't even get, it was just punching and kicking, and after about a minute of that, it's just like,
and unfortunately, there was probably 10 minutes of that.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah.
And that's too much. And I don't, and the dog thing is not sticking with me. There's a dog in the show. I don't know why there's a dog in the show.
I love dogs, man. And it's like instant, like small bonus points. The minute they put a dog, and then the minute they put an abandoned dog, and then the minute they put a one-eyed abandoned dog, like, are you trying to rip my heart out?
The dog.
If
dies.
You kill that fucking dog, I swear to God, I'm coming down to Hollywood and I'm gonna strangle Hailee Steinfeld's neck.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're going to. I mean, there's a little piece of this when they're watching the musical. There's a part where you're kind of on Jeremy Renner and he's thinking, and he's watching the actress on stage playing Black Widow, and I think he's starting to, you know, obviously they were friends, that's introduced in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like they were BFFs.
I think he's got some PTSD going on, man.
I would assume so. I mean, that'd be pretty
look at all that shit he's seen, right?
So I think this is going to introduce us to Yelinda, who Florence Pugh's character. There's gonna, you know, obviously
something smell, what's going on here?
pew pew. I mean, we're gonna have to ruin Black Widow for you. I'm sorry that you haven't seen it, but
I don't care. You know what? These are the Davids I know. My manager told me it's probably the worst Marvel movie and probably one of the worst movies he's ever seen. Oh, wait, did he say that? I don't know if I could quote him on that. He said it was horrible anyway, so I have no desire to see it, you know?
I would say it's probably not the worst movie he's ever seen, but it's not one of the better Marvel movies for sure.
I believe he said it was his least favorite Marvel movie.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. Let's just not quote.
And he saw Iron Man 2. And Thor Dark World. I would only assume he has. So, yeah.
Right.
So, at the end of Black Widow, Florence Pugh's character is kind of, it comes back. So, this is now current day after the whole Black Widow story. She comes back to her sister's grave.
Black Widow was set back in time, right?
Yeah, she was.
Like set. Back in the future?
I can't remember. Black Widow takes place between maybe... I don't know. One of the Captain America movies, maybe.
Oh God, who knows?
Maybe right before Civil War. Captain
America, but before Thor, but not before Doctor Strange comes out with Spider-Man up his ass.
Anyways, yeah.
Ooh. Exactly.
People pay good money to have Spider-Man up their ass.
I think you're bringing up Florence Pugh, which is I've only seen her in Midsommar, but what we experienced with her in there. Only goes to show us that I think she's a very strong, capable actress. Jeremy Renner, I mean, forget about it. I used to think this guy was Oscar caliber. I still think he is. But he is so much of a better actor than to be pigeonholed into this Marvel crap, man. And that's what I don't like about this. He's so much better than this. He can do so much better. He needs to get back to stronger roles and all that. I know I bet the paychecks, like... I don't know. Maybe it's his contract even or not. I mean, I'm sure Marvel's just throwing whatever money at him. So how could you say no?
Right.
But then again, you know, I don't know. And again, now I feel the same thing's going to happen to this poor Florence Pugh, a great actress. But, she's now only a couple movies in and already sucked into the Marvel universe where good actors go to die.
Wow. I mean, we could talk about that. That's like a whole podcast of itself. But Florence Pugh's here. She's not here in this episode, but she's coming up. I'm looking forward to it. I think.
Are you serious? You're gonna let me go off like that, and you're not gonna make a single comment about?
Well,
it,
I mean, right? I just don't think.
You don't have to agree with it.
Yeah, I don't think I do necessarily because I think we're gonna see Tom Holland continue to flourish. He's not going to die here in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, maybe he is.
I mean where their careers go to die. Now, like I said, like Jeremy Renner, Florence Pugh, and now Tom Holland's probably sucked into the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, but I don't think Tom Holland's career is going to die in the Marvel
Cinematic Universe. I don't think he's going to die,
Universe. Well, that's what you just said. You just said their careers all die in the Marvel Cinematic
Universe. You're right, I did say that.
But
you know what I'm getting at.
No, I don't because let's. I'm gonna
you do. I'm gonna you're just trying to be.
I'm gonna name some actors in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and convince you how their careers are not going to die. Chris Evans not going to die in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Chris
but
Hemsworth.
He's dead. Wait. But he's dead in the not dead or old watching Jeopardy. But he's no longer. Sure. So he's able to move on now.
Oh, so you're.
Yeah.
So your logic is that. Their
if
careers,
you're continuing,
if your character never dies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, then your career as an actor will die. But if your character dies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, then you can your career.
Chris
can
Evans
survive.
And Robert Downey Jr. and Scarlett Johansson, they're good to go now. Now they can get back to doing some serious acting. Okay. And they don't have to worry about this Marvel bullshit. Okay. But Florence Pugh now she's stuck. She's stuck for a bit. Jeremy Renner, until he gets his shit straightened out, he's stuck.
All right. I disagree with you. Paul Rudd, he's in a little movie called Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's doing well. He's not stuck. Benedict Cumberbatch, I think he's...
I don't know. Did you see The Shrink Next Door? It's not very good.
He's in a movie called Year of the Dog. I think this year it's big Oscar buzz. Like, there's people in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know.
Okay. Oh no, I'll give you that. There are some exceptions, but let's be honest. Jeremy Renner is a much more capable actor
than what he's doing Hawkeye. in Disney Plus's Hawkeye.
That's let's just keep it at that, okay. Right? And we can fight off camera. Oh, oh. Do you hear that, Russ? We're getting a call.
What do you mean a call?
A call. I think we're getting our first dial-in guest call, Russ.
A dial-in modem?
No. Someone's actually using the telephone. Someone's calling us.
On the Zoom.
Oh, look who it is. It's Ty the comic guy.
Ty the comic.
Hey, Tyler, how's it going?
Good. First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to Just Another Review Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
What people don't know is that Tyler is very knowledgeable when it comes to comic books, more so than us. So we thought, let's get the expert on here. We're talking about Hawkeye today. Tyler, have you seen the first episode of Hawkeye?
I have seen the first two episodes of Hawkeye.
No spoilers for episode
two. Don't talk about
two. I'll try and keep everything very, very non-spoilery.
Yeah. What's your impression of the first episode? After the first episode, go back, pretend you've never seen the second episode. What's your impression of the first episode of Hawkeye on Disney Plus?
Right off the bat, I liked the episode. Nice, It was quite well done. I mean, for the fact that Marvel seems to have a good grip on taking these characters that we're all familiar with, mm-hmm. and then putting them into a situation where we know nothing about. So I thought it was quite well done and definitely got me interested.
Nice.
Nice. But you being a big comic book expert, I mean, how did it hold up compared to the comic mm-hmm. canon?
Well, here's the thing is that...
Ooh, deep knowledge here. Deep cut.
Deep knowledge. It's not exactly the same. They're taking little bits and pieces from the canon that is Clint Barton and Hawkeye and building their own narrative behind it.
And Tyler, Sean and I were talking about this before. Is this a Hawkeye show or is this a Kate Bishop show? What do you think?
That's a tricky question.
Oh.
I'm going to give you a tricky answer.
Oh, okay.
It's both.
Oh, damn you.
Is this like Riggs and Murtaugh kind of shit going on here?
This is Riggs and Murtaugh to introduce you guys to Kate Bishop.
Okay.
Who in the comic books eventually becomes Hawkeye.
Okay, so this is Riggs and Murtaugh with Murtaugh like kind of about to retire.
Yeah, I think you're seeing Clint Barton going, I'm done. I'm too old for this.
I'm too old for this shit.
Is this also Jeremy Renner saying I'm done? I'm too old for this shit?
No, I could see Jeremy Renner coming back to work but I think this is a time for Marvel to say, all right, you've done your sort of tour of duty in our Marvel Cinematic Universe. We'd like to infuse it with some young blood, and we think Kate Bishop is the character to go with.
Is this for you, Tyler? Is this gearing something up for the future? Like Sean and I were talking about a little bit in regards to like potential Thunderbolts. Is this setting up a young Avengers League, a young Avengers group?
Yeah, I see this going towards Young Avengers because
are they actually called the Young Avengers?
Yeah, I think they are. There's definitely a comic book series based on the Young Avengers. And I can't do a roll call for you about who's in what, but I know for a fact that Kate Bishop is one.
Kate Bishop. I would assume Yelinda, Black Widow's sister, who Frances Pugh, will be one of them as well, based on how Black Widow ended and how that she's also in the show, I would assume.
Yeah, I think she's going to be the new Black Widow. I think they're gearing up for that. There might be, I think there's going to be some twists and turns towards how that all works out. I don't know. But yeah, I can see her definitely becoming the new Black Widow. For the love of me, it escapes me the next person. We've already been introduced to.
Well, there's going to be a She-Hulk show eventually.
Yeah, with the girl from
Miss Marvel show.
Shit.
Iron Fist?
No.
Not Iron Fist.
No. Oh, my God.
Tatiana Maslany?
Yeah, what? No, what's the freaking name of the show she was in? Damn it.
What's the name of the show? Sean can't think of the name of the show.
This bugs me. I should know this.
Orphan Black.
Orphan Black, that's it. I wanted to say Black Mirror, but I knew it was a Black Mirror, and then I wanted to say, you know.
She's Canadian as well.
Yeah.
So she's the new Hulk. I didn't realize
She-Hulk.
Oh, okay.
Chick-Hulk. Girl right. Hulk.
It's
smash She-Hulk. And grab it, you know.
Smash and grab.
Crushing men's heads with her thighs.
Okay, you know? Tyler, is what's the deal with the dog? I don't care if you spoil it. Like, is it similar to like Captain Marvel, where the cat is really like an alien? Like, is the dog something? Is he part of the canon?
Or is he just there to pull on our heartstrings and keep us watching?
No, the dog is part of the series. The dog has been a part of the comic book series. Okay. The dog's name is Lucky, the pizza dog.
Lucky is he like Inspector Gadget? What was the dog's
brain?
Name that would always brain would always save the day? Is that like this dog? Is he gonna like actually solve all these crimes and shit like this?
And then the brain,
and then Haley and Jeremy Renner will sort of take all the credit, and the dog will be sitting there and be like,
"Next time, Gadget.
What are you guys all giving no credit? I was the one that caught everybody." And you know, and then they put the dog down, and then I don't watch the show anymore because that's just. Not cool.
That's dark. That's dark for a Disney Plus series. The dog, from what my knowledge has, what I've accumed about the Hawkeye series, is that the dog is Jeremy Renner / Hawkeye's like pet dog in the comic book series. He's sort of the little, you know, the.
And he has the universe in his collar, right?
Sort of like that, if you want to call it.
Because there was a dog in Guardians of the Galaxy in the collector. Like the collector had like a dog in one of his cages. I wasn't sure if that was the same dog.
No, that was a duck. That was Howard the Duck.
Sorry. That was the blue man from Arrested Development. Mm-hmm. So Armand and Kate Bishop's mom's fiance are related? Did we know this? Is that what you just said?
No, I said that Armand... The old guy
who dies at the end of season one, at episode one,
Illuminati.
He is the uncle to Kate Bishop's mom or his fiance,
right? That's what Russ just said, yeah. But Russ said it really confusing.
I was nobody, I didn't realize they related, I didn't realize that. Okay,
he is actually a character in the comic book who is appeared in Avengers number 19 called the Swordsman.
Oh, shit.
And he was a villain. To start off with,
please tell me there's not going to be 19 Avengers movies.
Well, he was Swordsman in Avengers 19, but he eventually gives up supervillainy and becomes an Avenger himself.
I feel like this is how we're going to talk when we're 80 years old. You know, remember in Avengers 19, he had that one guy that I don't remember anything past Avengers 16, Sean. Uh-oh. Where's my teeth?
I would like to take Tyler's nugget, please, Sean.
Sorry. Shut up, Sean.
In the comic book, Jack Duquesne was Clint Barton's mentor who taught him the ways of the sword.
So, okay.
That Armand guy did?
No,
Jack.
The guy, the bad guy, the fiancé.
The fiancé taught Hawkeye.
Taught Hawkeye in the comic books how to use blades and swords.
Interesting.
Oh, that kind of makes sense then. Why she's like, "What are all these swords doing around here, Mom?" And they're his swords.
Yes, because in Avengers in the comic book he was called the Swordsman. So,
okay.
But so the question is do they use that little nugget of information and make him? Somebody of Clint Barton's past.
Right. Because we don't know a lot about the origin story of Hawkeye.
Exactly.
In the MCU, at least. In the MCU, we don't
know. We know he's a spy and he started with S.H.I.E.L.D. or he's been with S.H.I.E.L.D. for a long time and that he's very good with the bow. And then in Avengers Endgame, he was Ronin, which he used a sword. And
he's good at pulling things.
He likes to give things tugs.
But I mean, yeah, I think this show is here and this is now our opportunity to dive deeper into the Hawkeye backstory, right?
Or not. Or so? Just talk about...
Or not?
Or just talk about the girl, Katie Steinfeld.
Okay.
Okay, I got Steinfeld. I got Haley Steinfeld? I don't know.
Wait, one last question for you, Tyler.
Okay, one last question. And then quiz. And then we're going to you.
Oh, wait. JARP rating. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Real quick, what would you give Hawkeye episode 1?
Good question.
Right off the top of my head, an 8.
Out of five?
Oh, Tyler. Tyler. Wait. Let me go explain this
Whoa.
Again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, it's he okay. gave it it's an 8.
Okay. He gave it an 8. I don't even know how to gauge that.
That's good.
All right, then, Sean. A 4.
A four.
Okay, no, that's good. Okay. It's good.
Over 50%.
No, it's okay. You know what? It's late. It's Sunday night. It's 4 after 10.
And you're spewing off information that I can't keep up.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I got a Marvel quiz for you, Tyler. You okay with that? If we put you on the spot? Okay,
real
okay.
quick. This is going to be like lightning round. Ready? Lightning round.
Here we go. In the comics, Hawkeye becomes the leader of the first generation superhero group. What is the name of that group?
You got me on that one.
It's a reformed group of supervillains. Young.
Thunder.
Thunderbolts.
Okay. So you've already mentioned that we're seeing potentially the Young Avengers here. How does this connect with this whole Valentina Allegria de Fontaine that's played by Judah Louis-Dreyfus that we saw at the end of Winter Soldier and the end of... Black Widow. Is this connected in some way?
Oh, this is definitely connected. 100%.
Is she bad? But she's the bad side of it.
She is like, I believe, this is my theory.
Okay.
All right, you guys, this is my own shot over there. She is the bad Nick Fury,
right?
Quotation marks. Right. So she's putting together.
Is she Hydra then?
No, she in her comic
book. Gary Shandling is Hydra.
But I think with Julia Louis-Dreyfus' character, she is putting together the bad guys. We're going to see a sort of evil Avengers, or I forget the name of it.
And I wonder if it's a little bit more nuanced than bad, but it's more like these guys will work for money to do what needs to be done.
You think it's Marvel's version of the Suicide Squad kind of?
Yeah. Here we go. Jeremy Renner enters the MCU in what film, Tyler?
It would have been Thor.
There you go. Nice.
Good job.
Hawkeye joins the Avengers in what comic book title? You were throwing off Avenger numbers already, so I thought, you know, why not? Is it Avengers number 1, Avengers number 69, Avengers number 616, or Avengers number 16?
Oh, I had an Avengers number 63.
Oh, well, I think it's number 16 as far as my research shows. In Avengers number 16, Hawkeye joins. The group.
Oh, joins the group.
Joins the group. What do you think I said?
I thought maybe it was his first appearance.
Oh, okay. I think I still win. And what's the last thing that Hawkeye says to Natasha before she dies on Vormir in Endgame?
Oh man, I give you props to you guys on this quiz.
just make
I
it
wet
up.
Myself.
Yeah. What do you think he should have said?
You wet yourself.
I think he should have said,
I love you.
Damn you. Damn you all to hell.
He said, tell my family I love them. Because then he was going to go. He was going to jump off. And then she stopped him. And then there's a few like please and no's. But then pretty much the last thing he really says to her is, tell my family I love them. Big family guy.
You got me on that one, Russ, considering I've watched the movie like 20 times.
That's my, you did well. You did well.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good job, Tyler.
Now, can I ask a more personal question?
Sure.
Okay. You used to live with Sean.
I did.
That's true. Do you have hot Sean goss, like something embarrassing?
Well, that's all the time we have for Tyler today on Just Another Review Podcast. Thanks again for joining us, Tyler. We'd love to have you back anytime. Was great having you. And we'll talk to you later. Thanks, Tyler.
Man, this shit is awesome.
You suck.
Okay, Sean, how does the rating system work?
Say that one more time.
Hey, Sean, how does the rating system work?
Well, Russ, we have a rating system that works between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We don't believe in zeros. We don't believe in them.
They don't exist.
Yeah, we believe in giving at least one for your hard
work. I've never seen a zero.
One being really bad, 5 being it's the absolute bee's knees, and 2.5 being a moderate medium score. That's how I judge it. I don't know how you do it, but that's what I think. I kind of go 2.5 is medium, 50%, and then it's either up or down.
That makes sense. That makes sense based on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 scoring.
So with that, Russ, I gave it a 2.0. Yeah.
Blah.
Blah, yeah, blah is my first comment.
Yeah.
The show doesn't even need Jeremy Renner in it. He needs to get back to some serious dramas. I dragged my ass through this episode that didn't offer anything new in the Marvel Universe or from the perspective of a simple action show for that matter. Sure, the production value was good, but window dressings aren't doing it for me anymore, and we need some substance, of which this show has very little. I have no desire to watch the next episode, and Marvel needs to really offer something new for me to be reinvigorated with their universe.
Ooh.
That or wait until the next Thor or Guardians of the Galaxy, which seem to break the cycle of these cookie cutter productions. It's not horrible, but at the same time, I didn't find it very good.
Well, you know what, Sean? I gave it a 2.0 as well. Because you know what? Jeremy Renner's
Samesies.
Here. Jeremy Renner is here, everybody, and I liked everything that Jeremy Renner was in. But Hailee Steinfeld, I don't know. I wish she had more to do. Her character felt flat. I wasn't interested in it. Everything she did felt very surfaced, and it was kind of presented in a very mediocre way. I don't know. I'm sure Marvel has big plans for Kate Bishop and all the young Marvel heroes, but we'll see. I don't know. Yeah, like I said before, I kind of got thrown off. I thought it was going to be a Jeremy Renner show with Kate Bishop, or I guess I thought it was going to be a Hawkeye show with Kate Bishop, and it's more of a Kate Bishop show with Hawkeye. But Florence Pugh is coming. Pew pew. And it's not as exciting. It's not living up to the WandaVision and Loki that Disney Plus released. But we'll see. I'll stick with it.
Feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
This is Temperature Check, where we go back on shows that we reviewed in the past, and we've kept watching over the weeks to come. Some of them.
Some.
We try to make a commitment to watch them all, but sometimes we just can't do it. Sean,
sometimes you can sneak one past Russ. Like,
yeah, I like heels.
Heels. I can't do it. You can't
do it.
I got, no. I want a pass on this one.
All right. You got a pass.
I get a pass?
One pass. Your pass for 2021.
And it's funny because I picked the show too. So yeah. And I had such high hopes for it. And now it's just like, they're hour long. If they were half an hour episodes, maybe, but they're not. They're right. Hour long. Too so long. It's a commitment for a show that you have absolutely no desire to watch. So an hour's an hour, man. I can get a lot done in an hour. Poof. So
tell me about it.
Heels is not getting an hour from me anymore.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Out of the ring. Mills. Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you. KO'd. Thank you for the pass. You've earned one then yourself.
All right.
Are you going to use it for Invasion?
I thought you were watching. You
committed. Yeah, you don't need to because I've totally caught up. It's mediocre. I think you're kind of along. We're 8 episodes in.
Okay. Wow.
And it is not progressing like at all.
Right.
Like very, very. It's almost like I'm wondering if they only had enough content for one season, but they're maybe trying to make it stretch for two. I don't know because, again, we're
slow.
8 episodes in and every character is like in the same fucking place. They just about were in like episode 2.
Yikes.
You know, like no one's making much progress.
Are there a lot of kids in the show?
There was a whole spoiler alert. Uh-oh. There's a whole section where a school bus crashes. So there's a whole sort of, class of kids trying to make their way, back to London. So that's probably where all the children came from. And some of them are still, in the show, not the whole class anymore, but, a couple of the kids, who survived,
Oh, their little Sweet Hereafter going on.
What's that?
Sweet Hereafter was a movie. You never see Sweet Hereafter? It's like Sarah Polly, Ian Holm. It's a good movie.
Sarah Polly, Canadian actress.
Yeah, Sarah Polly.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's awesome. So 1997. Oh, maybe it'll be one day on the
Did she? Is podcast. That's not her movie, is it? No, 1997. That she's a little too young.
Yes,
she directed a movie.
She's now directs movies. I can't tell you which.
I've never seen any of them, but I know she's directing now. So
yeah, she's directing.
Good for her.
Yeah,
good for her.
100%.
Yeah, she's a great actress. So Invasion, yeah, again, it's okay. The production quality is really high, though, so I don't know. Maybe I'm just intrigued because it's sort of filmed well, so I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to steal ideas from it. Yellow Jackets. There's the third episode, airs today.
Okay, and I've seen the second episode.
Me too. I haven't watched the third yet. I'll maybe watch it tonight. I don't know. Yellowstone's competing with it too. So
right,
Succession. And then you're watching Succession. I'm in season one, so I'm not.
You're not cut up.
Chomping at the bit every Sunday night to watch what's new because I'm way back.
You're way, way, way back.
Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets. What do you think? Yep. Fine with it. Still good. Still good.
Still 3.5. Yep. Still on 3.5 land.
Yeah. Still early days. Early days with Yellow Jackets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's getting interesting though.
Yeah. You got some honorable mentions here.
Yeah. Just watched that 8-bit Christmas, that new movie on Crave.
Same guys that they've made Elf. I saw that they advertised.
Is it? Is it? I don't know. I didn't look into any production details.
I think when they're showing the trailer, they're like, brought to you by the guys who gave you Elf.
Brought to you by the assholes that brought you Elf. Actually, no. Elf is awesome.
Yeah.
Classic. Instant classic. Classic Christmas movie. But yeah, this one's about back in 1988. Actually, it's a Neil Patrick Harris telling his daughter the tale of back in 1988, how he got himself his first Nintendo Entertainment System. So nice. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Hits a lot of nostalgia for me being a huge video game nerd and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was funny and it was good for the whole family.
Okay,
we all watched it. My 5-year-old, she's still not quite getting into live action, but my 8-year-old loved it.
Yeah,
thought it was great, thought it was funny. We all laughed at some really cute parts and all that. So 7 out of 10. But yeah, it's worth a watch. It's not going to make your holiday classic list, but it's definitely something fresh and fun and a bit of nostalgia for us 40-year-old virgins out there still playing Nintendo.
Tell me about it. Honorable mentions for me for Normal People on Amazon Prime. You got to watch Normal People. It's great.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that yet.
So the whole, I think it's a Hulu production, so they've just put all the whole season on Amazon Prime. Really good. And then Wheel of Time.
What is Hulu's connection with Amazon Prime?
I don't know. I just know that Hulu is only in America, and I think distributors in Canada and elsewhere in the world can purchase, obviously.
And they use Prime as the portal to get Hulu content to us.
That's how I understand the world today.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
And Wheel of Time.
Wheel of Time. So
you're watching that. You were going to pick that.
I was thinking about picking it. I don't.
Why didn't you?
I don't know. I don't, because there's 3 episodes. I want to know. I don't want to be held up by having to wait 2 weeks to record a podcast. I want to watch that show now. Put it in my veins. Mm. Wheel of Time. So far, so good. Now's the time where we look back in the years of our past when we would gather in your basement and watch the television.
Russ.
Yeah.
Look into my eyes.
Oh.
You will see.
What? Oh, that's nice.
What you mean what you to me?
Mean to me.
Search your heart. Search your soul. Russ, and when you find me there,
I love you, Brian.
Search no more.
Don't tell me.
Tell you that was that it for.
Oh. Yes, we're talking about the 1991 Robin Hood Prince of Thieves, directed by Kevin Reynolds. Story, screenplay, and produced by Penn Densham. It stars Bryan Adams. No, it doesn't. It stars Kevin Costner. It stars the voice.
Might have been better with Bryan Adams.
Kevin Costner, Morgan Freeman, Mary Elizabeth,
Mary Elizabeth Menstruation.
Alan Rickman and Christian Slater.
Yeah.
A big movie for us.
Wait,
kids.
That's not how Christian Slater
does. That's Christian Slater.
That's Keanu Reeves.
Hey, man. Big movie for us when we were kids.
Super big movie. Now, was this, I didn't look into this, was this a summer movie or a Christmas movie? I know it was huge.
Yeah,
this was big. You've got notes here that it was $50 million budget and brought in $400 million. So for back in 1991, a $400 million movie is probably is
pretty good.
It did good. And you know what? It was released in July.
Okay, so it was summer movie.
It is in the summer movie. Opening weekend, June in Canada, US, July and August in the United Kingdom.
Okay, Russ, June is also in the summer.
Okay, great.
So it still counts as a summer movie.
Summer movie.
There you go.
Fun movie. I
remember loving this movie when it came out.
And I enjoyed it again when I watched it again.
I did too, believe it or not. I thought it held up pretty well because, you know, there's not any...
there's some, like, I normally more infidel painted man kind of talk, but...
Okay, the language for sure, yes. But as far as the visuals, there's no... computer graphics that help date it. There's good old story. There's a couple shots that are questionable. They're not computer graphics, but there's some sort of optical effects or something, you know, the bow and arrow point of view and stuff like that. But other than that, it's just great practical action effects. Tons of action in this movie. This movie follows in film school we learned that there's an action movie script writing technique. The film guys might correct me on this one, but they won't because we only have three fans and they won't know this term. Okay. A script writing term for action movies called 10 minutes and a whammo and a whammy.
10 minutes and a whammy.
Something like that. Anyways, it's just this theory that every 10 minutes you have an action scene.
Okay.
And Raiders of the Lost Ark was the founding father of this script.
Every 10 minutes, there's a whammo.
Yeah, every 10 minutes follow a whammy. And this movie follows it to a T. I was actually looking at the time counter on the movie, and sure enough, like literally minute 10, minute 20, minute 30, minute 40. I think there's even one at 50 and 55. Like there was a couple like right after each other. So I've gone on long enough about that shit. But yeah, action everywhere.
Yeah, and it's a movie that doesn't take itself too seriously, obviously.
No, it's got some campy parts.
It's got some campy. It's cheesy. It breaks the fourth wall at the end, which I completely forgot about.
Thinking that Sean Connery? Oh, no, the Friar Tuck.
Where he's hey,
that's like a Ferris Bueller.
Get out of here. We're about to have a party, you bastards. Which I'm like, you know, don't take this movie seriously because we're not. which again, so you're like, it's a lot of fun. There's some really funny bits. Morgan Freeman's hilarious in this. Just like, I feel like it's kind of like a little bit of the formula of some Marvel movies that work, you know, just like the comedy and the action, and not taking itself too seriously. You know, it obviously makes the ingredients of a loved film or a successful film when it comes to box office and the general public.
I don't mind Kevin Costner, but I think for this,
I thought you loved Kevin Costner.
I do like Kevin Costner.
Okay.
But for this movie, I didn't like the choice to put him in it, because when you see Kevin Costner, I think Kevin Costner is Kevin Costner. I don't really think of much of as a character actor. And I think this movie would have really benefited who I don't know per se, maybe I'll come up with something by the end of the podcast who would have been a better fit than Kevin Costner
in 1991.
Yeah. Right. I'm sure he brought in the numbers just from his name and he was having, you know, he had huge success in the late 80s and 90s and all that with directing and acting and stuff. But yeah, again, what I'm getting at is that I think this movie would have been even better with a stronger, more character actor. You know, he's got no sense of an English accent whatsoever. You know, this is English courage, I think was one of his lines, but it sounded completely American.
y'all, this is English courage, y'all.
Yeah. So a couple times I think he attempted an English accent, but it was certainly not kept up. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. Who would have done a better job at that time?
At that time? I don't know.
I think there could have been a better, and I think with a better character, that this movie could have actually been like seriously, seriously good. Maybe take out some of the campy lines, and this could have been sort of a more dark, dark movie.
I think that's not the point of the movie. The movie is meant to be fun. You're meant to have a smile on your face the whole time. It's not supposed to be a dark movie. I don't know if it would work.
No, but maybe not dark, but more of a serious movie, more of a drama. You know what I mean? Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think the movie's successful that way. I think I think,
A couple little tweaks and it could have been.
I think it's like looking back at Terminator 2 and going like, oh man, Terminator 2, it's a funny movie, but you don't think of it as a funny movie. And then you watch Robin Hood and you're like, oh, Robin Hood, that's a funny movie. But it's like these funny movies disguised as action movies, which right. I think, you know, makes it work. Yeah, no, I think
it was quite a dark movie in a cinematography sense. There's a lot of scenes that were short on detail, just really dimly lit. I mean, I'm sure it was by design, but even a lot of soft focus and stuff like that. So I think maybe they might have had a not quite the most top-notch cinematography team on the movie, but that again, yeah. Some interesting choices with some wide-angle shots, really close on Alan Rickman Alan Rickman. Trying all week.
I'm going to cut your heart out with a spoon because it's
Loxley. I'm going to cut your heart out with a spoon
because it's dog. It'll hurt more.
Cousin. Why did you say a spoon?
Because it's dull. It'll hurt more. Well, I'm going more Sean Connery.
At least I didn't use a spoon.
I don't recommend because it's dull. It'll hurt more. I know, so, you know, it's a good movie. I recommend people going back to it if they have the time. A lot of fun.
That raspy guy, the raspy cut.
Loxley.
Imagine what that guy sounded like as a kid. He's just like kind of walking around. Mom! Give me some fucking, I want some fucking allowance. I gotta go buy some throat lozenges, Mom. Jesus.
Stop smoking in here, Mom.
Mom, I swear to God, I'm gonna die from all the cigarettes you smoke.
I'll open a window. What's that guy's name?
I don't know. Raspy.
And did he ever do anything? Michael Wincott.
He was the bad guy in The Crow. Remember The Crow?
Oh, no. I know someone died in The Crow.
The Witch King in The Crow. Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He was also Old Bill in Westworld.
What?
Interesting. So
he was in Westworld? No.
Okay. So you remember in the when they take all the robots to like kind of like shelf them when they store them?
Yeah.
And like Anthony Hopkins would go into the back and he would play with this old robot that was kind of like this cowboy, and the cowboy would be very robotic, like he was a very old version. So there was a lot of like stuttering and a lot of kind of
Was that him?
Yeah, that was him, which now that makes sense. But I remember really enjoying those scenes because it was kind of like
I really liked Westworld. I know I know season one got lots of praise and then it kind of people thought it went downhill, but I quite enjoyed the themes of season two and season three. I don't know. I liked what they were doing with it. Yeah. The opening music comes on for this and I was like, what is that? I was like, I've heard this before and it's not from Robin Hood, but yeah, I guess so I started doing a little Google researching, going down YouTube, and the Robin Hood theme, which was done by the production Morgan Creek, they went and stole the score as their logo jingle from that on. So I was wondering, I was like, oh, I know this jingle, this of the score, and then sure enough, yeah, so Morgan Creek was like, oh, we like that so much, we're gonna take a piece of it and use it for our logo reveal in front of all of our movies. I believe they still use it.
There you go.
There you go.
And then I forgot completely about the Brian Adams aspect to this whole thing until like we started to hear like the everything I do it for you kind of chord.
Thank God, not
at
until
the
end. Not until the credits.
But they start playing like they start riffing the mute like the instrumental like during the final scenes of the movie.
Right. Yeah. They do like an instrumental version of it. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm like, oh, and that was,
man, that song was friggin' huge too. Big. It is like Celine Dion Titanic huge, right?
Oh yeah. Like every dance. I'm sure we were
every school dance. It was the last song on every school dance in the early 90s for us. You know, I believe I was dancing with Jennifer Leigh.
Not me.
You wouldn't dance with me. No, I kept grabbing your ass.
They had to put a balloon.
It was inappropriate.
They had to put a balloon in between us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I kept
grabbing my ass. I know.
I kept getting excited.
We needed two balloons. All right.
I wish we'd need two balloons.
If you
no one understood that. Right over your head.
If they were going to make another Robin Hood movie, which they probably will, I say go for Tom Hardy. That's my That's my Robin Hood.
Yeah, he's a now that's a character actor, right? Tom Hardy.
And it's
yeah.
got the same idea of like a Daniel Craig as James Bond or a Christian Bale as Batman. Like you feel like these guys would win in a bar fight. And I think that's what you kind of need, that rugged, you know, can drop and give 100 push-ups.
I like that. Tom Hardy as a Robin Hood.
We just did it.
Make it happen, man. Yeah.
Can the producers call me? I got a great idea. All right, man, we did it.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
Are we done talking about? Yeah. You don't want to discuss the improvised C-section and then the guy dangling his newborn child just out in the open to show all of his friends?
I mean, it was like, a different time.
Do you think that baby survived or
what? I mean, most of them didn't, I assume.
I guess not. He's like, oh, I've got 7 boys. But, you know, he did this to 20 of his kids, right? And only 7 of them made it. I don't know. When he started, I was like, come on. Like, his umbilical cord's still flapping in the wind. He's like, check out my son. I've got a boy. And they're all like, all his friends are like, oh, let's drink with it.
Throw it over here. Go long. Take my boy.
Then the friar Chuck comes in. You don't need to see this part. Time to go now.
Get out of here. We're about to throw a baby.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast.